I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Katie Neal. Welcome back to the Katie and Company podcast. This week on the show, Thomas Rhett was our guest. And I always think Thomas Rhett is such an interesting person. And I mean, I think a lot of people think that's why he has so many fans. But I mean, a guy who was raised with a dad who was a country artist. He has the cutest love story with his wife, Lauren, all their little girls and their growing family. 20 number one songs and absolutely no ego. Like, Thomas Rhett is always so light to talk to. He's always so present and so eager to answer. And I really enjoy talking to him, and I appreciated his time for this interview because as a dad with 4 kids under 7, I don't know how he balances it all. So this week we talked about growing up with a dad who was a touring artist and a famous country artist. We talked about when all of his friends realized as a kid that his dad was famous, and then how his kids today, Thomas Rhett, feel about him being famous. We also talked about New Year's resolutions, who he wishes would play his 33rd birthday party, and of course, new music. So as always, I hope you enjoy my conversation with Thomas Rhett.
How are you? How's the family doing?
Oh, we're doing good. You know, every day is a new adventure with these children, and just hanging on for dear life.
What's the adventure today?
Man, you know, they don't, you think that when you're done with school, right? But when your kids start going to school, I mean, it's kicking my butt way harder than I ever felt my butt kicked when I was actually in school. Because now it's your fault. It's your fault if your kids are late. It's your fault if their lunch isn't packed correctly. It's your fault if they're, you know, if their homework isn't finished. And so we're just trying to keep up with that and extracurricular activities, gymnastics, dance, and, you know, all these things. So, it's a blast. I'm loving it.
That's so funny. I saw the girls, speaking of extracurriculars, have been doing some horseback riding, which you've also been trying to dabble in. How have your horseback riding lessons been going? I know that was kind of a fear for you.
Yeah, no, it's been fun. You know, I think what it took was actually getting to know a particular horse.
Yeah.
You know, and Lauren got a horse a couple of years ago, and we were actually out in Wyoming, and there was a place where you could adopt a horse. And if you know my wife, that's what she's going to do. And so we adopted a 2-year-old Mustang, and I was just like, are you sure you want that as your first horse? And she was like, yes. And so she's been working with her for 2 years, and now Lauren's like riding her bareback and barreling with her and all this kind of stuff. So that's the horse I got on a couple months ago. And so it's just been, you know, it's kind of helped my inner fear of horses kind of go away. But it's been a blast, and it's been fun to learn. And I really understand how the horse culture can be addicting. It's pretty special.
Definitely. Yeah. Once you're in, you are all in.
Yeah, 100%.
That's so funny. And then speaking of the girls, I was thinking about this. Now that they're getting a little bit older, when they come to shows and stuff now, do they realize what you do is like different than what other parents do for the most part?
Yeah, the older two definitely are aware, you know, especially like when we walk around like Nashville. Like this week we were Christmas shopping in downtown Franklin, and there was a few people that, you know, had asked to take a picture, and Ada James looked at me and she said, "Why do people like you?" It's like, just, I love how blunt kids say stuff.
Leave it to your children to keep you humble.
Yeah. And you don't know how to answer that. I was just like, well, you know, daddy sings music. And I think that those folks like daddy's music, and they wanted a picture. And she was like, so weird. You know what I'm like? And I'm like, no, you know, like you'll get it in like a year, but Willa Gray totally understands. Willa Gray totally gets it.
That's funny. Do you remember having a similar moment like that with your dad growing up?
Yeah, I do. I mean, but I toured with my dad a ton. You know what I mean? Like, every every weekend during the summer, it was all I wanted to do was get on the bus with my dad to go to play these fairs and festivals with him. So I got to watch it quite a bit. You know, my girls, there's four of them, so it was complicated to travel with all four. But the times they do come out, they love it. Like, my kids love getting on the bus. They love getting in their bunks. They think it's the coolest thing in the world. And, you know, going up on stage during sound check and playing the drums and getting on the microphone, it's pretty full circle, because it's exactly what I used to love to do with my dad. So
that's so fun. But I'm sure that, like, growing up, some of your friends had to be like, oh, wait, you're going to, like, get on a tour bus with your dad and, like, go on a trip every weekend.
Yeah, I remember, you know, I think I was in first grade, and you know how, like, first graders will do, like, the parents will come in and they'll tell the class, like, what they do for a living. I remember my dad, he used to love to embarrass me as a kid. You know, he'd always bring, like, a huge video recorder into class and sit there. But he brought his guitar in and played, like, That Ain't My Truck for my first grade class. And from then on, it was just like, dude, your dad's famous, man. Your dad's, like, really famous. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of a full circle thing.
That's so funny. I love that. And then I don't know if they mentioned to you, but when this airs, it'll be a few weeks into the new year. So I'm curious from you, like, you know, a few weeks into the new year now, have you made any resolutions for this year? Are there any goals that you're excited about? I feel like sometimes saying goals is better than saying resolutions, because resolutions are doomed to fail.
Yeah. I mean, I've got two, and one has been my goal, I think, every year for a decade. And it is to finally just get yoked in the gym. Like, I want to be 185 Brad Pitt from Troy. You know what I'm saying? But I've changed that this year to just, I just want to get healthy. You know what I mean? And because I think that's a little bit more attainable of a goal than looking like Brad Pitt from 300. But my other goal, I've been kind of living by this motto over the last 6 months, but it says, be where your boots are. And to me, I'm really bad at being present. Like, I'm such a forward thinker. I'm always thinking about what's next. Where are we going next week? What are we doing tomorrow? And really just trying to be in the moment and really try to soak up what's happening around me and really just learning how to be truly content in all situations. That is my goal for this year.
That's such a good one. You know what's funny? I recently picked up a book that, like, the Japanese term for, like, being present in every moment is called Ichigo Ichie. And I picked up this little book about it, but it's like tiny, but it talks about just all the different ways to be present and how to use all five senses. Cause I'm also really bad at that. And I have found that was, like, a really cool thing to, like, read into about, like, you're just living right now. You're not worried about something later. And it helps you, like, remember moments more vividly, actually, which I thought was really cool. So good
and
for
so,
you.
Like, so what have you done in the last week that you were like, okay, I feel this happening?
So what I will just try to do is, if I feel myself, like, spinning and, like, you know, worrying about something, I'm like, I try to use all five senses. I'm like, what can I smell right now? What do I taste right now? What do I feel right now? What do I see right now? Just to, like, bring you back to this moment so that you're there. If that makes sense.
That's amazing.
It kind of sounds like when you listen to it, you're like, it's, like, very foo-foo. And it helps a little bit.
whatever works. You know, I'm here to try all the things. So
exactly. Well, we're also really excited for the new year to be giving away this really incredible contest where listeners can win a totally private show with you, which to me is the coolest thing we ever give away on the radio. Last year we did it and it was so much fun. Like, the listeners loved it. The artists loved it. But I want to know from you, if you know, say this is like 10, 15 years ago, you're riding around in the car and you're like, you hear something like that on the radio. Who's the artist that you're like, I have to win this totally private concert?
I mean, still to this day, like, I literally talked to Lauren the other day. I was like, hey, for my 33rd birthday, do you think Eric Church would think it was weird if I texted him and said, will you just come play for me and, like, 30 of my buddies at my house? Like, 10, 15 years ago and today, that would be the best.
The
like, and especially if I could just be like, hey, I got four requests and I just need you to play these four songs.
You're like putting money in his tip jar.
that you probably haven't played in 10 years, but I have to hear them. But no, these type of shows have become my favorite to do. I got the chance to do quite a few of them last year, just in people's living rooms, you know, across the country. Yeah. And getting to, like, you know, when you're in, like, an arena or a stadium or whatever, you're trying to keep the energy rocking. You're trying to keep the energy rolling. And you really have time to maybe break it down, like, once or twice, you know. Mm-hmm. But to be in this kind of moment with people that genuinely love not just your singles, but all the music that you put out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be some Googling happening, like, legit. People are going to say, hey, can you play that song from your first record? And I'm going to be like, yeah, hold on. Google Thomas Rhett lyrics. Yeah. But it's so fun to be able to go a little bit deeper with even people's favorite songs. You know, like every time I get to tell a story about a song, I remember a different detail about the day that that was written, or about a story about that recording of that song, or about how I was terrified to put that song out as a single because I didn't think it was going to work or whatever. And like, I think it's really cool for fans to get to experience those stories, because I think it gives a deeper meaning to the song when they hear it, you know, especially acoustic. You know, I think there's something different about really breaking songs down with a guitar and a piano, raw vocal, you know, and getting to kind of hear where those songs come from and get to hear the artist, you know, sing them just to you. So
I always say that, like going to like a Nashville songwriter round where it's just like it's someone and a guitar, like it changes every song that you hear from then on. Like
it does.
There's certain ones that'll always be different for me because of that. And that's so cool.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Who are the nine people that you would bring with you to your totally private concert with Eric Church?
probably everyone that I graduated high school with. I mean, even though I haven't talked to a lot of these folks in, what has it been, 15 years, I would just send a group text to at least my football team, the guys I played football with, and be like, hey, Eric Church is coming to the house and he's going to play for us for an hour. I mean, I think that would be the coolest thing in the world.
Do you think that you'll have the courage to text Eric and ask him that? Or
I doubt it. I don't know. I mean, we text quite a bit, you know, we send each other new songs we've been working on, and I love getting his feedback on my stuff, and I love giving him feedback on his stuff. But I don't know, you never, I don't know if that crosses the line. Be like, hey, dude, we've been friends for a few years now. You want to come over and play for me and my high school buddies? That'd be great.
You know, we're putting together a guitar pull. It's just you.
Yeah, exactly. It's just you.
And then the last time we spoke, you had mentioned like kind of after this next year, maybe taking not like a break, but just taking a little bit of time to not rush on like the 2-year album cycle, one right after the other. Are you still thinking about doing that, or are you like jumping right back in?
I am, like, and it freaks me out. You know, you were talking about just, you know, being anxious and kind of worrying about what's next. You know, like I mean, for the last 10 years, it's just been put a record out, write 100 songs, put a record out, write 100 songs, tour, put a record out, tour, take 2 weeks off for Christmas, do it all over again. And I think it's good to put a lot of content out. But for me, I mean, I've made 6 albums, you know, and I've covered a lot of content, and I've covered a lot of ground, and I've experimented with a lot of sounds. And, you know, for me, like, I think my goal for next year is to be able to compartmentalize the space. Like when I'm touring, let's just tour. You know what I mean? Like let's put all of our energy and focus into the show. When we're writing, let's have no distraction and write for a solid week. And when we're recording, let's take the time to not feel like we're doing all this other stuff while we're trying to do the thing that is the most important. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so a lot of times you're like leaving stage, going to the bus, writing, getting back to Nashville and going to the studio.
Yeah. I mean, literally my wife and I were talking about it yesterday. She's like, why do you think you're so tired on Sunday and Monday? And I'm like, because I'm literally writing from 10 to 5, going straight to meet a bunch of folks, to a show, writing again, doing it all over, and coming home and feeling like absolute death. You know what I'm saying?
And you got 4 little girls who need your attention.
Exactly. And so, you know, I've got a lot of goals, but I would love to be able to go on tour next year and really put 1,000,000% of me into that show, and then be able to come home and feel rested. You know what I'm saying? Which will require going to bed earlier and not drinking as much tequila. So there's a lot of things to conquer. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to put this next record out until I don't ever think I'm going to, like my wife told me last night, she was like, I've never heard you turn a record in and be like, hey, this is the one, you know what I mean? And I'm like, and I don't know if that's in me to feel completely like we did it. But I do think if I can allow myself the space and time to get everything that I need to do, I will feel, you know, I think the record will come out when it's supposed to.
That's
and for
awesome.
The first time in my life, I'm okay with that. So,
well, that's really good. I'm really glad, because it sounds like you need a little bit of rest. But also, speaking of the new music, you are going to have a new single out called Angels.
Yeah,
tell me about the inspiration for this.
Yeah. So I wrote Angels. Have you ever heard of this guy named Teddy Swims?
Yes, I have.
He's unbelievable.
So great.
I wrote this song with Teddy like a year ago. And I thought we were writing it for Teddy's album because he was kind of finishing up his record. And he sang the demo, and I was just like, God bless. Like, it's like writing with Chris Stapleton. You know what I mean? You kind of sit there and you go, should we all just quit? You know what I mean? Like, would it be better if we all just quit and let them just take this thing over? And I remember texting Teddy a few weeks after that song was written. I was like, hey, are you thinking you're going to record Angels? And he was like, I don't know why. And I said, because I love it so much and I want to give it a go in the studio. And so, you know, I started that song the day before we went into to write with Teddy, because, you know, I was thinking about that quote, maybe angels don't always have wings. And I was like, God, that is my wife. Like, she was part angel, part human. And for me, it's very normal to put a love song out, but I feel like a love song with this type of grit, with this type of like, hey, thank you for putting up with my crap, you know, for the last 10 years, like it hasn't really been portrayed from me in this way. And it's always been my single most favorite song on the entire world. We started the album and, you know, after half of me, I felt like I wanted something with a lot of meat, and this song's got a lot of meat and it's very raw. It's one of my favorite vocals I've ever recorded. And, me and the label were just kind of like, man, we all are thinking Angels. And I was like, wow, like, I think we all agree. And,
which doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't happen very often, and not in a bad way.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
It's just labels have things that they think are going to work, and the artist has things that they think are going to work. And we all collectively were like, man, Angels is the play. And, so I'm very, very excited to get that out on the airwaves in January. So
that's awesome. What else can you say about any of the new music that you've been working on?
There's too much of it. I was telling you that I can't wait to make the space. This year I did not make the space. This year was like, I had writers out every single weekend from March to October. And I think I turned in like 145 songs this year that we wrote on the road. And so, but now is kind of the weeding out process, you know. So it's kind of like going to all my trusted folks that I love getting to play the music for and being like, hey, do you have 5 hours to sit down with me? You know, I've got 100 songs to play for you, and really just weeding out like the good from the great, you know, because I think that's the hardest conversation to have, because you kind of sit down and you go, man, a lot of these are good, but what is great? And been in the studio quite a bit, you know, really, really working on vocal and production arrangement, and going to get into the studio for real in March and really start tackling this next album. So
that's awesome. And that's really exciting. TR, thank you so much for the time today. It was really good to see you, and I always appreciate the chance to catch up, and I wish you all the luck with your resolution to be more present.
Yes, ma'am. Likewise. And I don't remember the Japanese term that you used, but I hope you succeed in that.
Ichigo, Ichie. When you see, if you see it or if you look it up, it's just it's a good, helpful reminder.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.